don't want what we know out there.
How a person can go from really almost nothing to becoming a millionaire by owning rental properties.
He would always buy these flip houses, and I just remember thinking, this guy is crazy. Why would he buy that house?
In the past decade, there's been a huge surge in the peer-to-peer short-term rental market.
Become an insider. So you have to know the rules before you get the game.
Every second counts. So make every second count.
Welcome to the Real Estate Jam. Whether you're just beginning or the best of the best, we're glad you're here. We will share successes, failures, and strategies for the action-taking real estate investor. And now to your hosts, JD and Melissa.
State Jam podcast. I'm JD with my wonderful co-host.
JD.
Melissa.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Let's get fired up.
Yeah, fired up. You had some pretty big wins this week, right?
I did. Yes.
Do you want to share them with the crowd?
Well, I closed on a $2 million deal in Destin. It was rough. There was a lot of issues with whether the staircases were per code or not, because the way the railings were vertically versus horizontally. And so that was scary. I thought we weren't going to make that happen. And then we closed on our flip. Finally, I felt like we were never going to get that one closed.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to talk about today.
I did too. I thought, oh my gosh.
Panic mode.
How long do we need to keep this sucker? So as some of you may remember, because we did talk about it when we first acquired it.
When we were excited.
That has since changed, but that's okay. And I think it's important to talk about some of these more difficult deals and look at the lessons learned from them. So let's talk about, okay, so we had this was all the way back in
September, August.
July is when I first started talking. Okay. So we had a kid who wanted to get on a consultation call with me, and we started talking, and he said he found this really great deal, and they were wanting $225 for it or something, and he wasn't really sure how to close the deal or how to have the conversation to pitch it. So on July 4th, I drove to the middle of a parking lot.
Not July 4th?
Yes, July 4th.
We were
down south.
Oh, because we didn't have reception.
Yes.
Oh, we didn't have any internet reception. I was like, wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I
forgot about
I drove that. To an abandoned parking lot where I could get reception and have the
Wi-Fi.
Call. We got on a three-way call with me, the kid that we ended up JVing the deal with, and the homeowner, and negotiated, and I was able to negotiate them down to $188,000 for the purchase price, which was just a little bit more than their payoff. We put it under contract, the next day or so. And then what we were going to do was JV the wholesale deal. So we started marketing it to everybody that we could.
I thought it was sell wholesale for sure.
Yeah. And we could have, we got a couple of offers. We got our highest offer was for $200,000. And when we ran all the numbers, did all the numbers, that would ended up with me making, or our company making $3,000, the wholesaler making $3,000. And I just thought that there was more room in that deal at that time. And I didn't want to settle for the $6,000 assignment fee. And we had some concessions that we had to give the sellers. We were bringing some cash out of pocket to help them with their moving expenses and stuff like that. I kicked it around for a little bit, talked to Melissa, talked to the guy we were JVing with, Ryan. He's a really good dude. And we decided, well, I think we can buy it, flip it, and make more money. And really, when I ran the numbers at the time, we were looking at listing it for somewhere between $320 and $350 is where we thought it would sell for. That did not happen.
So we thought it would be a win for sure. We thought it would just be an in and out lipstick flip too.
Yes, yeah. We did. But we decided to close on it, and we ended up paying the JV partner what he would have made had we sold it to the other guy. So we paid him, I think, $3,000. And we ended up, we were all into the property after closing, paying everything off. I think the purchase price plus closing costs plus the fees and stuff, we were right at $204,000 is what we ended up paying for that property. Then, because Melissa's a really good project manager, she had everything figured out. We knew we were going to need a paint. We knew we were going to need some landscape work. We knew we were going to have to fix the air conditioner and do some rebuild stuff in the garage. We knew that we were going to have to get some
carpet.
And that was pretty much it. You know, that's what we budgeted for. And we had to do a new roof. That was the other thing.
Yeah.
So Melissa got all that stuff knocked out. We were pretty much done within
a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Three weeks. We wanted to get it listed for Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
That was the goal.
And so we got it listed. We got a couple of showings right out the gate when we had it listed at 340. And then it kind of went dead. And at the time when we put it on the market, the average days on market were right around 58 days on market. So we didn't feel too bad about it. We knew it was a good house. It was a bigger house than the rest of the neighborhood. And that may have been where we made a mistake, is because we were going off the neighborhood square foot price, which bumped it up quite a bit. And had we been on an increasing market, I think we would have been fine. If this had been April of 2022, I think we would have got our price plus some. But because that's right where we hit kind of a stagnation in this market, you know, fast forward to this week when it sold, the average days on market are like 89 days now. So anyways, we did all the repairs, didn't have any complaints about the property from that regard. We went under contract.
The first time.
And they ran the inspection, said, hey, there's a couple of things that needed to fix. Nothing too dramatic, right? We had to get gutters put on because after we did the new roof, we didn't have new gutters put on. And because of the rain, some of the dirt around the foundation had started to pull out. So we got the new gutters put on and we got the dirt leveled out and fixed
we dropped another three in it.
Yeah. Another 3,000.
Yep. We wanted to just take care of all the inspection repairs so that it didn't happen again. All of a sudden the irrigation system wasn't working, which had been working, and some leaks, the erosion was going on, and just some other little things that we didn't want there to be an issue again.
So we went ahead and got all of those things fixed. Now, but let's talk about, why did the property fall out? It wasn't because of repairs. It wasn't because of the flip. You want to talk about why the first contract we had on the property fell out? Because they had to break their lease. The VA loan had to break their lease.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So because they put it under contract, but the first time home buyer, VA home buyer, didn't know that they were going to have to break their lease and come up with money. They thought they could just get out of their lease. They didn't want to break their lease for $1,500 or whatever it was to move into their own house.
Yeah.
So they ended up backing out of the contract, which, you know, that was a little bit disappointing, but it didn't really mean too much to us because it was
to me. I was heartbroken,
but we were able to put it back under contract relatively soon after that. We'd done a couple of different price reductions. We dropped it all the way down to 295, and that's where we
299,
and we ended up going under contract at 295. Now, so what was the total time from when we purchased it till when it,
August to last week? So the first last week in March.
So it took us 6 months to move the property from the time we acquired it
but there was zero showings between the first time it dropped on the market in September until February.
And another house, identical house with less done, went on the market in between there.
higher price.
At a higher price. And it didn't have any showings. It didn't end up selling either, did it? Yeah,
not yet. No, he was having the same situation too.
Yeah. So we ended up selling at $295,000. We thought, because of the time that we held the property, the amount of repairs that we did, and the price reductions and stuff that we ended up doing, that we were going to break even or come in a little bit under. Mm-hmm. Luckily, we ended up selling it and making right around $11,000 as the total profit for the company, and then the agent commission on top of that. And so now, when we're looking at it, we're saying, okay, that took 1 month of a whole bunch of work, a bunch of months of worrying and trying to get things fixed and having to pay power bills and water bills and all of that stuff. We could have made $3,000 on it, wholesaling it right out the gate. We ended up making $11,000 plus. Melissa was able to make the commission on the sale. So just under $20,000. We don't even like doing a wholesale deal for under $20,000. So was it worth the time, effort, energy, heartbreak for the flip?
Not me. No, definitely not me. No. I know maybe you, but JD doesn't tend to worry like I do. So I'm like worried that squatters moved in, or that any second something else would possibly go wrong with the house. You know, anything like a flood or
somebody stealing the
electrical
appliances.
Fire. Yeah.
Yeah.
They weren't even that great appliances anyway. So,
I mean, I think that the $11,000 and $7,000 commission is better than losing money.
So, yeah, for sure.
But that's really about as close as I'd ever want to cut it. I don't want to be in a situation where, you know, you work for 30 days hard, and then have this stress for 6 months worth of trying to do it. And really, it's still a pretty decent flip. If it had been our very first flip ever, or, you know, this wasn't a business, then that's a pretty substantial win. But unless you could do those at volume, if you could do 25 of those a month, okay, that might be worth it. Right. But
yeah.
But we're not flipping that many properties a month. So I think it's a lot of time, effort, energy, and stress.
So what did we learn from this?
Well, I guess making sure that your ARV is on point, paying attention to the direction the market is going and what the days on market and the inventory are doing.
And don't get things with steep driveways.
Oh yeah, that killed us too.
Like, that's crazy. Like, they didn't like it because of the way the driveway was. And it's not like we live in the north where there's ice and snow. I mean, it's just like, it's an incline, but there was plenty. You could have parked like 10 cars there.
Yeah.
So that's what threw me, because I thought that was great. And it was a big, big lot. I mean, it was half. Was it half?
No, I think it's quarter acre.
It was big in the front, big in the back. I mean, you could have dropped a pool in there. Yeah. And I think in retrospect, just this was our first flip in Crestview. Mm-hmm. I think it was too far out.
I think
that was a killer too.
Yeah, that's a big part. Mm-hmm. It's because the majority of the buyers are going to be in market are military buyers using a VA loan. And they want to be closer so that their drive isn't as far. The other thing that had just started, we saw them starting to clear some land right around the corner from where this neighborhood was. And then by the time we were done, they had these houses up and they were selling off these brand new houses, brick houses in
under three
nice neighborhood for under three. That's and some of them were smaller and their lots weren't as good. But we started competing with a 20-year-old house against these brand new builds. And so, you know, if you ask me, like, hey, do you want to spend $300,000 on a brand new house in this neighborhood that has a pool, or spend $300,000 on this house two streets over that, is 20 years old and has a steep driveway, I'm always going to pick the new build. So I think paying attention to where the new builds are, which is funny too, because a lot of the homeowners that we're talking to direct to seller, they're always touting their, oh, well, you know, there's a new neighborhood going in right next door and those houses are going for $500,000. That's not always a good thing. And really, it kind of detracts from the value. So you have to, you can't beat them out on age of house. You have to beat them out on quality and price. And if those houses are similarly priced, then that puts so many more houses or your competition ahead of you.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather have a new house with a warranty and not have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the only thing that saved us on this deal from losing money was that we were able to fund it ourselves instead of, you know, if we had, 10% hard money loan or something like that.
With points and stuff.
We would have, there would have been zero profit, probably even a negative profit. Yeah. So that was the one thing that saved us on this deal. But not every one of them's a winner.
Yeah.
And we kind of get beat down on that sometimes, but if that's the last one, it's not a good one to go out. But if it's just one of hundreds that you're doing, then I guess it's not that big of a deal.
It was still so fun with you.
Well, I'm sure everything's fun. I'm trying to think, did we have any other issues? You know, as far as like, it allowed us to do some things that we hadn't done. We had in Crestview, we had wholesaled some and but we hadn't actually done one that we took ownership and fixed up and sold. We did a couple of wholetails, I think, too. But it allowed us to start building our network of vendors here in this area. We have a pretty good handyman, a great pressure washer, a good roofer, good, you know,
painter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The painter's great.
He was awesome. Probably going
to use him on a lot of other mm-hmm. stuff. So we were able to build it. And sometimes, you know, we only ended up making around $11,000, but we also got the education and we, you know, probably should be making $35,000 to $40,000 or more per flip. But this being the first one in this market that we're actually taking ownership of, it's almost like paying for the learning experience, right? And that's what we tell everybody else. You learn so much more from actually getting out there and doing it and going through the steps than just learning about it, listening to podcasts, reading books, or hearing other people talk about it. So I think that's important too, to remember that your experiential learning is so much more valuable than anything you get out of the book. And sometimes you pay for that with reduced profits or negative profits.
And we had great pillow talk.
Oh, super great pillow talk.
It was great every night. Flip talk.
Yeah. Well, that's all I like to talk about most of the time anyway. Well, that's it. If you guys want to see pictures, you can check out our social media. If you have any questions or you have any deals that you want to do or you're looking for partners on, please reach out to us. And until next time.
Thanks, bud.
No problem,
bud. Thanks, bye.
We'll have a better flip for you soon.
Thank you for listening to The Real Estate Jam. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. For more information, check out our website, therealestatejam.com, or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Real Estate Jam. If you have any questions, feel free to drop us an email at therealestatejam@gmail.com. See you next episode.